Today is going to be simple, all right? I am just setting the stage for what we have for the next 6 weeks. I'm like the bookend in this series. I get to start it, and then I get to finish it. We're going to hear from Pastor Brenda Vogel. We're going to get to hear from soon-to-be pastor in the licensing process, Karen Walker. We're also going to get to hear from some of the Foursquare people in this. Whether or not you know it, we are a Foursquare church. And it was actually started by that woman right there. Her name is Amy Simple McPherson, and for a woman to start a denomination in 1923, that was pretty shocking in and of itself. And so we're going to have our assistant district supervisor that's going to be in this place named Beth Hackbarth. Another assistant supervisor is Espy. And I can't really pronounce her last name really well. She's going to be here. And then as well as Pastor Mandy Holden is going to speak in this series, as well as a woman's mobilizer. Because even in a denomination that can be started by a woman, sometimes that can still be pretty stagnant and still pretty divisive. And so Foursquare employs someone and rallies behind. And Mandy's one of the women's mobilizers for our area. But we're going to have the one for the whole 17 state area, Melissa Brotherton, that's also speaking at the women's conference. She's going to be here that Sunday right after as well. But today, you guys already said it, so I'm not going to make you say it again. Today, you're stuck with me. And today, I'm going to get started. I'm just really going to preach backwards through these words. What does it mean to preach? What is a woman? And what does it mean to listen? Okay, so if you don't know what that is, we will walk through that. But I'm going to get started here with maybe something that you've never heard, maybe a bombshell about the first person to ever preach the gospel. Many of us know the gospel to be good news, and the good news was that Jesus died, right? That's not really the good news. Everybody always says, well, why is it Good Friday? Jesus died on this day, and it's like, well, let me tell you, because he didn't stay dead. In 3 days later, he rose from the grave. There was this resurrection, just as he said it was going to happen. He came back from the grave, not in a zombie style, but in Jesus fashion, and proved who he said it was, and proved who he said he was, so that all the words he said prior to that was true. Nobody has done that ever since. Nobody did that before. And so I stand here to tell you that many, many times we think of Peter as being the first person to preach, right? We hear his accolades of he stands up and anointed with the Holy Spirit, declares on the steps of the temple, and 3,000 people are saved. And many would say, oh, wow, Peter, right? You read through the Old Testament, and you may go through there, and you say, oh, wow, okay, maybe it's not Peter, maybe it's John, right? John is John the Baptist, John the Revelator, right? Like, John is the one to be the first one to declare about Jesus' resurrection. And, or maybe you see the majority of the New Testament being written by this man named Paul. And you would say, well, maybe Paul is the first preacher. But in John chapter 20, verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news and said, I have seen the Lord. See, many times it doesn't have to be 25, 35, 45, an hour and 5 minute long sermon. Some of us preach more in Dollar Tree than we do anywhere else. See, Mary Magdalene was the first preacher of the resurrection, the first one to declare the gospel, the first one to declare the good news. Let me tell you, if the disciples, if the church had ignored her at that moment, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And so in this time, right, for such a time as this, I don't think God has any oopsies or accidents. When he directed us to put this on this calendar, he knew exactly what point in history we would be at. Because I actually believe that this series, we're going to see that God, not just there, used a woman, but we're going to see all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and even Paul, all right? We're going to see maybe that not the real question today or throughout this series is, can women preach? But what if the real question is, will the church listen when they do? So preaching is proclaiming about Jesus, right? Preaching is proclaiming about this resurrection, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news. I don't think God did that to limit, or he didn't limit that to one gender. I'd say if we silence women, we silence even part of the voice of God. It's kind of the big idea of today. So as we talk about preaching, the preaching is not a word that's actually in Scripture. It's translated from the Greek word. I'm not good at Greek. I'm just letting you figure it's caruso, right? Not cherushi, like the cherushis that are part of innovation, but the caruso, and it's not Italian, but my fingers go that way. But it means simply to proclaim, to announce, to herald. That's what this word preach means. And so as we listen to women preach, what does it mean to preach? Well, Mark says in Mark 16, 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That was in red letters, by the way, so that wasn't Mark saying it. That was actually Jesus saying that to his disciples and everyone who was with him. By the way, there was way more than 12 people that followed Jesus. They were the apostles. There were many disciples. If you actually, like last week, we had communion out on Tailgate Sunday, and that was great. And I think some of your grape juice fermented in the sun last week from being outside. And sorry about that, but maybe you like that surprise. As Jesus talked about communion the first time, it talks about the 120 disciples that were like, I don't know about this, right? So there's a lot more people when it talks about Jesus traveling and Jesus going and speaking, going from town to town and town. There's a lot more than, it's just his 12. No, there's a lot that's going on. Someone asked me about family members, and we talked about Peter's mother-in-law. And they were like, crap, Peter had a mother-in-law? Oh, wow, that I don't know what to think about that and how he balanced all that stuff. But Romans 10:14 says, how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? So we see these verses that are talking about preaching. Luke even chimes in as well, the doctor, right? The detailed guy that's going to let you know about everything. In Luke 24, 33 through 49, it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those that were with them. Because remember, there's more that are with them. Assembled together and saying, is it true that the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon? Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you, he told them. This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of the sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with the power from on high. This is where we see Jesus talking to them, everybody who was in the room. By the way, if you look at Pentecost in the upper room, it just wasn't the only the disciples that were there. Luke makes it explicit, right? The 11 and those with them, doctors and their details, right? That means there were other disciples in the room, that it was not just the apostles. Earlier in Luke 24, we see women. We see Mary Magdalene. We see Joanna. We see Mary, the mother of James. And others were already witnesses of the resurrection, right? Because they were the ones that ran and told the disciples. It's really not hard to imagine that some of these same women were also present in these other gatherings. Then we have Acts. In Acts 1, 6 through 9, it says, "Then they gathered around him and asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the dates or the times the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world and to the earth.'" And he said this. As he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. See, it's not limited to the 11. In Acts 1, 12 through 15, the group gathered afterward in the upper room, about 120 people, and women are explicitly included. In Acts 1, 14, it says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." See, we sing a song about evidence, and then we get scriptures that have evidence. And we got to wrestle through that. We've got to talk through that. We've got to figure out. And while right now we're focused kind of narrow with Mark and Luke and Acts, over this series we're going to broaden this scope, and we're going to look at all of Scripture. And not just Esther. I know everybody likes to talk about Esther, and Esther's great, and Esther's beautiful, and the Queen Esther. But what happens when you start hearing other names in the Bible that aren't male? When we'll get there. Because it doesn't say, go into all the world unless you're a woman. See, I'm here to remind each and every one of us, as I've been reminded myself, that preaching is not a gender role. It's a gospel role. I'm asking, can we open our eyes to that? Will we open our eyes and ears to see and hear, maybe not just listen, but to lean in? And so what is a woman? Genesis 1:27, right? Simply, God made them male and female. We've got two. you're one or the other. There's differences. If you're married, you know that there's differences. Maybe you got married because of those differences, and you like those differences. But simply, when it comes down to biologically, we have chromosome differences. There's one gender that's designated to carry life. And every man should be saying amen to that, because you don't have to. You don't have to birth that woman, or you don't have to birth that baby. You don't have to go through that pain of childbirth. Amen. They're emotionally wired different than men. They're intellectually gifted different than men. They're spiritually empowered, sometimes different than men. So God entrusts Mary Magdalene with the very first announcement, right? The very first announcement of the resurrection. He didn't send Peter first. He didn't send John. He sent Mary. And so if God entrusted her, then maybe we should listen. From the very beginning, though, these are just a few of the names. God raises up women to lead, to proclaim, and to even preach. People like Miriam. In Exodus 15:20, it says, "Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing and proclaimed the victory that was God's." There wasn't a victory that was happening yet. But because of that proclamation, the victory was there. Deborah in Judges 4:4, "Now Deborah, a prophet of the wife of Lapidoth," was leading Israel at that time. She was a prophet and a judge in the highest office of Israel. Because many times we'll say, oh, well, women can do this, right? They can be in the nursery. They can be in the kids' room. But they can't be over. They can't lead over. Well, let's look at evidence where God says opposite. Huldah, not Helga, not German, but Huldah in 2 Kings 22:14 says, when the king needed God's word explained, he went to a woman prophet. Mary Magdalene, you've heard about her. Phoebe, not a friend's character. Like, I'm not talking about that one. Romans 16, 1 and 2, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. She's been a benefactor of many people, including me. Those are Paul's words. Just saying. Priscilla, in Acts 18:26, when Priscilla and Aquila heard of him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. If you don't know, Paul was taught by a woman about Jesus. Junia, not Juno. In Romans 16:7, it says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. Paul's literally calling this woman an apostle. You may be sitting there and you may be like, well, why do you keep bringing up this Paul guy? Well, because he said some words. He said some things that even makes this topic full attention, right? In 1 Timothy 2:11, while he's training up Timothy, he says these words, a woman should learn in the quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. That made my firstborn daughter really happy to see that verse. But she also dug into it. Said, you know, God, you've got this calling on me since fourth grade. What is this verse all about? Because some people will just stop there and be like, that's right there. That's my verse, my theme verse. It's tatted right here, right? That's my verse. Women, right? Like, not one that I would recommend, but Paul's writing to Timothy, who was pastoring in Ephesus. Ephesus was home to the Artemides cult, a cult that was led by women, full of spiritual chaos and causing even more spiritual chaos. False teaching was rampant even in that church. It was intertwined. Timothy was young. He was figuring it out. And women were spreading myths. So Paul's instructions is to silence the chaos, to protect the truth, to only be declaring the truth. He's addressing a specific local problem, not laying down this universal gag order for all women, for all time, in all churches. And I say that just based on research, and maybe you've done your own, and I would love to continue the conversation. That's what this series is about. Let's have this conversation. Let's bring it to the forefront. Let's talk about this. Because Paul empowered women. He commended Phoebe, commended Priscilla, commended Junia. He allowed women to prophesy in the church, right? Just like that guy was talking about, how chapters later he's allowing and asking for. He recognized women as co-laborers in the gospel. So what if we don't turn Paul's temporary fix into a permanent gag order? What if we look we're supposed to at all of Scripture? Because if you look at Paul's word, he said, I do not. It's also a very personal point as he's talking to Timothy. Could you imagine what just opening the page and just picking a verse? Could you imagine what that may do in your life, right? If you just open the Bible, pick a verse, and be like, well, this is my theme verse. Reading that verse only, and then applying that one across the board. Genesis 17, 10, and 11. We'll go with that one. We'll start with that one. It says, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me and you. Anybody ready to get saved here today? We've got some snips right in the back, and we'll take care of your dedication to Jesus. Because right there it says that's how you'll know that you've committed your life to Jesus, right? The shears come out, right? Anybody ready to step right up for that covenant? Or what about the Ezekiel 4, 1 and 2? I remember doing the series just a couple years ago over this one where it says, eat your bread as barley cakes baked over human dung. Anybody? Anybody? Takers of that verse? Like, is that the one that you're applying this afternoon for lunch? Leviticus 19, 19, just in case you need to check the tags on your clothing where it says, do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. Everybody, you check for your neighbor. Check for your neighbor. Make sure, and let's have a burning shirt burning service at the end of this service. I like this one. I like this one. This one I could go for. This one I'm all about. In 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24, it says, he went from there to Bethel, and as he was walking along the road, some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. Go up, you bald head, they said. And he turned around. And he looked at them, and he called down a curse in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. I'm just saying, like, that could be one that I'm advocating for today. Like, make fun of bald people, and the bears, not Caleb Williams, are coming after you. All because they called them bald. So I get it. I get it that there's rebuttal to this concept. But I'm wondering if during this series we can look at the context of where those rebuttals are coming from. Look at the heart of where those rebuttals are coming from. Look at your own personal motives. And say, what does it mean to listen? Because listening isn't just hearing. Some of you, you stopped doing that at the beginning of this message. You were like, oh, crap, why'd I come today? But listening is giving weight. Listening is giving honor. Listening is giving value to those that are speaking. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, it says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Leaning in, not tuning out, not scrolling, but taking notes. Valuing the vessel that God has chosen. Asking simply, what is God saying through her? Because I'm wondering if we refuse to listen to women, it's not the women that we're rejecting. We're rejecting the God that's trying to speak through them. And so for the women in this room, if you've ever been told to sit down, if you've ever been told to be quiet, I hope you'll be able to listen. I hope you'll be able to lean in. Because God doesn't use your voice that way. He doesn't view you that way. You're called. You're gifted. You're needed. Men, I'm not here to say, hey, men, we've got to move over, right? Not here to push the men out of the way. I believe in this series, he's actually asking us to move closer, to stand beside our sisters, not in front of them. And for us as a church, I'm wondering if we can stop asking, can women preach, and start asking, what is God saying through them? Because I believe for far too long the body of Christ limps when half of it's silent. Not only just silent, but silenced. So in Acts 2, 17 through 18, as we get ready to close, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. This is the part I left out earlier. It says, your sons and daughters. We can't just pick and choose based on our bias, based on our hurts, based on our traditions. Because your sons and daughters will prophesy, and we need to hear both sides. The Spirit was poured out on sons and daughters. So when men preach, I believe the church should listen just as much when women preach. Why? Because God's speaking. It's not a gender that's speaking to us. God speaks through women. God speaks through men. But above all, he speaks and has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so today, I know we're jumping into the weeds. And I think that's okay. I think that's needed. When we did it for politics, that was good. We actually grew as a church because we were the only church that was willing to talk about it. Not all to the left or all to the right, but what does it look like to be in the middle? What does it look like to look to Jesus, right? What does it look like to not look to the left or to the right, but to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, we need you to lead us. Shouldn't that be our prayer all the time? Especially now. Especially in this series. And so today, maybe that's the voice that you need to listen to. Maybe that's the voice that you need to respond to. The voice of Jesus, the call of Jesus, the same voice that told Paul to write Romans 10:9 that says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's simple. That's it. That's not religion. That's not tradition. That's not performance. That's, will you enter into a relationship with Jesus? Can you do that now? I mean, it's okay at the beginning of a Listen to Women Preach series if you turn your life over to Jesus. That can happen. Because today, maybe you've realized you've done life on your own. You've tried it. You've handled it your own way. You've not just ignored women's voices. You've ignored men's voices. But ultimately, you've ignored the voice of God. And maybe today there was enough of the voice of God speaking to grab your attention. Maybe you've realized today that you've never responded to that. That you've never decided to surrender your life to God. That song, I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again. You've ignored. You've never decided to surrender. You've never let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. So no matter where you land on this topic of men preachers, women preachers, can we all today land on that Jesus is Lord? And if you've never made that decision, I want to make that a point today that maybe we all don't leave here the same because now we're going to start wrestling with this. We're going to be looking up verses, going to be texting and listen. I got something for you to listen to, and you got questions, and we'll be answering them all serious. But maybe that's how you leave here, and that's okay. I believe it's good to wrestle, right? We had a wrestling rink in here once. But today, if you're done wrestling in following God, maybe that is what needs to be taken care of first. To soften that hard heart, to surrender your life to him, to begin to hear his voice. Today I would like to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me, but not just with me, with us as a church. I actually ask the entire church because we believe that we're better together. And so it's a simple repeat after me, and they pray it with you because that's how we do this faith journey together. We start that faith journey with you. that we walk alongside, whether it be through connect groups, through serving teams, through times at prayer at the altar, through following up and encouraging one another, through spurring one another along, to simply just cutting bagels for one another. Maybe that's like the level that you're at today, but we do this faith journey together, and we come week after week after week and engage with the scriptures and hold it up and say, all right, God, what do you want to speak to me? And I would ask that us all do that throughout the series, and you probably know a few others that need to be here. They may have questions, and that's okay. Bring them right along with you. But as we close off today, let's go with this simple prayer. If you're here today and you're ready to follow after Jesus, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, would you pray this prayer with me today? Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin, and that you rose again. Today, I give you my life, and I ask you to forgive me, to change me, and to make me new. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together?